gentlemen. Welcome to the French Connections. What day is it today, ladies and gentlemen? It is Thursday. It's Thursday, the 31st day of August, 2006. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith. It's really great to have you with me here today. We've got a short segment today, a little rant, a few things to clear up. One of them I want to start out with, first of all, is IamTheWitness.com is the website, and IamTheWitness@Hotmail.com is my email address. And a couple of things have been happening lately here. We've been trying to upgrade the system that we've got to do these shows with. We work with a little tiny recorder that's it's a digital recorder. It's about the size of a pack of cigarettes, and we do it over phone lines, and we're trying to make it a better quality so that it can be better transmitted and whatnot. And we're also trying to upgrade the website to make it easier, because I've had hundreds of people ask me to streamline the way the website works, because it's hard to find files and it's hard to collate and it's hard to understand what interviews would go with others and what information is an adjunct to other information and so forth. And we're trying to do that. And it may take the form of a website that we're actually working on here in Europe with a volunteer that I met, and he visited me here at my home. And he's a computer wizard, and he's working really hard, and I think he's a wonderful guy. He's just a nice guy. So I trust that he's going to hit the best for us. It was his suggestion that we put that thing on top of your thing with that the download there for surfing the net. There is a couple of things that we found out after we put that on the site to put it down. It is an Israeli company, and that made me very nervous, inquisitive. What could happen, and why? And why put a toolbar made by an Israeli company? Well, what I would say to you, if you worry about it, don't put it on your system. I haven't put it on mine. it was designed, customized by the guy that we had here. We found out after that it was an Israeli company. However, if that's going to be the only criteria, what you've got to know about Israeli companies doing software is that Google's building the biggest factory they've got. Both owners of Google are Jewish. If you've used Google, then you're in the same boat as using this toolbar. Amazon, same thing, and moving their technology center to Israel. Intel, the biggest plant Intel has is being built right now in Israel. Why? Because they've got a very good system of education for computer science. And now, does that mean every one of these companies have been infiltrated by the Mossad? I don't know. I assume that they've found their way into my computer. I assume that. Why? Because I don't have super duper heavy duty firewalls and I don't know. I got a better system now than I had. It used to be terrible. I mean, every couple of days I'd have to F11 my computer because it would start dancing and stuff without me touching anything. So, and I'd lose all my information and stuff, and I'd start clean again. But I got a better virus finder now, and so it doesn't happen quite as often. But what I'd like you to know is that I don't endorse or not endorse this, and I put it on the site. It is kind of neat. I liked what it did. It kind of has a system in there where you can send quick messages to groups and whatnot. Also, MySpace being a Rupert Murdoch company, that is we've got a site on MySpace, but I don't think that's any more dangerous than having Microsoft. Goodness knows what Bill Gates has been doing. He is attending all these Davos and Bilderberg meetings and the rest of it. So I doubt very seriously you can go anywhere on the net without having this stuff owned by one of the elites. So basically, we're using a system that these people have built. And if it made you uncomfortable, then absolutely, positively don't use it. I'm not using it because I don't want to add anything that could possibly make my computer do more dancing. I just want to keep it simple. And I'm not recommending you to either use it or don't. And I wanted to come and make sure that you understood that that's not my endorsement. However, on the website, the new website that we're talking about here, we will have a registration feature that will allow you to do several things that you won't be able to do without registering, because what we're going to have you be able to do is vote for our podcasts and things of that nature, and join a forum of some sort. But it'll be a forum off the site, because I don't want to administer that. I don't want to get, I can't even keep up to all the stuff I've got to do now. And many of you get angry with me because I don't email you right away, and I don't. Sometimes I don't email at all. I do a mass deletion because it gets overwhelming. I have delete every email in my box within a day or two. I've already got a few hundred in there, and if I don't answer those right away, it turns into several hundred, and it's mind-boggling. Trust me, and I'm trying to keep my head clear, which you know, that's not an easy task these days. So. Just letting you know a little bit about what we're doing here. I want to make sure that you're up to date with our efforts, because this is really not me doing all this stuff. It's us. It's your help. It's Eric's work with us. It's great interviews like James Dickey and Ted Pike putting out some great stuff. And Chris Berlin last night was great. He put some good stuff out about actually Israeli software companies, and that was one of the reasons why I wanted to make sure we clarified some of this stuff today. This is an ongoing story. I never thought for a moment that we would be able to fix any of this stuff quickly. It's just not going to happen. We certainly don't have the deep pockets to do it, and nor do we have the sheer numbers at this point. Of course, everybody's trying to copy our work, which, frankly, I don't mind. I want to identify that that's what the bad guys are doing. Of course, RBN over there, with people like Szymanski and Tarpley and Statmiller and the rest of them, are trying now to go onto the Zionist wagon, and they're putting up exactly the same articles we're doing, and they're putting up exactly the same. And Wing TV tried to even go and get man for man the same interviews that we've had, of course, well after we put them up. And that's a tactic to try to steal our listenership and our thunder. But the bottom line is if they're doing that, they're still putting out the information about Zionism being a criminal enterprise. And a little story I want to tell you. Maybe Eric will put up this file for us later. I had a call-in invitation to a TV program as a debater of the head of the Zionist Federation of London. He was on the Arabic channel in London yesterday, and I was asked to come on and debate this man about world Zionism. So, of course, I said, okay, fine, I'd love to. I had been on this TV program about a year ago, and I was I kind of took over the show because the host was telling lies right to the people, and I couldn't believe it. She was saying that the young Arab men were responsible for the 7/7 attack, and I stopped her. She was a Muslim woman, and I said, what are you doing blaming your own community for something that he didn't do? Stop. And I did it on her show, which didn't ingratiate me to her very well. But this station, you know, doesn't put out all the facts. They simply, what happens is when you get a testy issue such as world Zionism and a guy like me comes on, my first words were, if you want to understand world Zionism, you have to investigate the Rothschild family. That was my first statement. And immediately after, I started having phone problems over at the studio. Oh, you can't hear you, and you're not coming through, and all these buses and stuff. Needless to say, the whole interview turned out to be a mishmash of nonsense, and I don't know if that was the first statement I made. Well, Eric can tell me. Eric, what was the first thing I said on that, Eric?
I can't remember. I have to look back.
I'm bringing Eric in here because Eric and I sat on the phone and both laughed and said, this is awful. Now, here's the painful thing, Eric. There were 4 million potential listeners to this yesterday that we didn't get an opportunity to teach about Zionism. It was pretty clear they were really sabotaging us, huh?
Well, obviously, they were messing with the phone system so that we couldn't hear anything they were saying, and I suppose they had your volume down too. So it was deliberate sabotage. They couldn't possibly have phone systems that were this bad, because if they did, they'd never be able to communicate with anybody.
Well, and the funniest thing, Eric, the phone wasn't all that bad in the beginning. It was, you know, I could speak to everybody, and the guy got on and said, "Are you all right?" And I'm, "Yeah, okay." And my opening statement, I think, was, oh, what did I say? Something about Balfour as an opening statement. And you know the worst thing was that this other Zionist guy named Moonman got an opportunity to do his whole presentation without any argument, which was really unbelievable. I mean, this is an Arabic channel, and you pointed out that this is the same kind of nonsense that we get from Al Jazeera. I mean, a lot of Al Jazeera's workers are probably honest investigators, but they've got some very highly placed controllers over there that aren't letting the truth get out. Isn't that what it looks like?
Well, yes, because one of them contacted me about 2 years ago. He wanted my book and video, wanted to do a story about it. And then after he got it, that was the end of that. Never heard of him again. See, a lot of these stations have ordinary, what you'd call Europeans, calling themselves Muslims, and they're in there calling themselves Muslims, and a lot of them may just be infiltrators, but the Arabs haven't yet picked up on this concept that they're being infiltrated, that these Muslims aren't real. And so that's what you'll see at a lot of these Arab stations. You'll find what look like ordinary Europeans. And you have to ask yourself, what are they doing there, supposedly as Muslims, helping the Arabs? This is equivalent to, you get a picture going the other direction. Imagine, for example, a bunch of African Americans coming to America saying, yeah, we represent white people. We've changed. We're not African anymore. We're now European. We're Caucasians. And we represent the Caucasians. And you think, wait a minute, there's something fishy here. But that's what's going on over there with the Muslims. You've got all these people, Jews, Christians, whatever, claiming to be Muslims. And so far, the Arabs haven't yet figured out.
Well, and here's the problem with it, Eric. Excuse me. The problem is that it's a very sensitive issue to call somebody on their sincerity about race, because everyone's so frightened to even speak about race. I mean, you know, without being, everybody fears they're going to be labeled, oh, you're a racist for bringing up that subject. And of course, there's nothing could be farther from the truth. I'm not against any race. I certainly don't care if somebody follows a religion either. That's their business. However, if they're doing it for other reasons, and this is what we've discovered over time, is that a lot of these people claim to be one thing and actually another, to be deceptive.
Well, that's what these laws against discrimination can be used for. You see, they can justify them on good grounds. They say, oh, well, we need this law because of this or that noble reason. But at the same time, they can use them by telling the Arabs, you have to let these white people in because otherwise it's discrimination. And they won't allow... they won't let the Arabs just have their own stations, because then they'll say, well, you're discriminating against all these white Muslims. Well, how do we even know these white Muslims are for real? See, this is the problem they have. They can use these laws to their advantage to force this to happen. Even with in America, I mean, if a group of black people tried to get together, they could possibly have to put up with this too. Oh, you're not letting white people into your organization. Well, do they have to? Do women have to have men in their organizations too? Do men have to have women in everything men do? Do we have to always have this mixing constantly?
Well, I remember, Eric, when I was a kid, there was a bar in my community that, you know, right on the big sign out front said Men's Bar. And there was an actual woman's entrance if they wanted to go into this place, and not very nice women went in there anyway. But it was a men's bar, you know, and it was clearly marked men's bar. And they all had to get rid of that. They had to take that down.
But that's like
the community said, you have to get rid of that.
Well, but they have women's group. Imagine how the women would feel when they have their own little women's organizations. Imagine them having to be told, well, this is discrimination because you're not letting in men and you're not letting in children. I mean, why do we have to have this? Why can't women get together on their own? Why can't men get together? Why can't some Arabs just have their own little group? I mean, then the Jews, look at them. Try to join their synagogue. And I know a teacher, when I was in high school, she was a high school English teacher. She tried to join, she wanted to become a Jew, and she went to the local synagogue, and they wouldn't let her. I mean, how come that's not discrimination?
Well, you know, here's the thing about all this stuff. I mean, it's all about segregating and separating our efforts, you see, because the real fight is about this. It's about the controllers and the controlled, the haves and the have-nots, the power brokers and the people being, victimized. And when you take a look at it, it's a real simple construct, but that's not the way they've divided it. They've divided it, white against black, Christian against Jew, Muslim against everybody, and nothing could be farther from the facts that, these communities are not, and they'll go as far as this. They'll even take transcripts from people like Ahmadinejad and actually mistranslate it intentionally. They'll take his words and say that this is what he said, when in fact it was nothing of the kind. It's astonishing that that's the level that they'll stoop to.
Well, right. The problem is with translations, of course, is you can easily get different translations from different people anyway. And so, since they're in control of the media and they dominate the internet, they really can do this easily.
Well,
so, especially with languages that not many people know, such as Farsi or Arabic. So people just have to be more aware of this sabotage, the infiltration, and be willing to stand up to this more often. Don't be intimidated so easily.
Well, what red flagged us with some of these people at RBN and why we still are diametric to these people is because what we kept seeing was that all of their hosts were putting out a Bush-Cheney-Rumsfeld agenda. It was all Bush-Cheney-Rumsfeld, and they would synthetic terror made in America, and of course, because we were getting traction, they would always pepper it in there with a little bit of Zionism. But of course, when you take a look at the facts, it's only the Zionist controllers. Even when you take a look at this Illuminati stuff and the German death cult, the fact is the German death cult they talk about was Weishaupt, and he was working for the Rothschild fortune back in that period, and it was all a clandestine Zionist group at that time, even though they didn't call themselves Zionists at that moment. The fact is, when you look and boil it all down, the controllers have never changed. They're always the same. It's the people we've discovered. And RBN has been pushing people away from that. And now they've got this relationship going on with these folks over here at APF. And goodness knows what that's about, Eric. We talked about it. Why is Stamula going a week early to have meetings with Cardo and the rest of them? That's a real strange event over there.
Well, there's a lot of strange relationships coming out now. Jack Blood and RBN, Mike Piper, RBN, and the American Free Press. Barry Chamish is one of their speakers, and he's being featured on a lot of the alternative radio stations and even the websites. I mean, what is he coming over here for? He was over in Israel, and then he comes over here to North America to start giving speeches and go on radio shows. And he's telling us his message. If you listen to some of his messages, one of the last ones I heard, he was blaming the Council on Foreign Relations for basically being in control of everything and taking advantage of poor little Israel. The Council on Foreign Relations is just, one little group. It's just one organization that was founded recently. Maybe
100 years ago. And in
well,
fact,
not,
they...
not even not quite 100, but see, it's one of their organizations. It's one of the Rothschilds.
That's right. And, I can give you the sister organization in Britain called the Roundtable.
Yeah, and
Cecil Rhodes formed that thing at the urgings of Rothschild, and it's exactly identical structure. And of course, when you take a look at these people founding Tavistock for social mind control, and then they got a sister organization called Stanford Research Institute in California. I mean, you can see this throughout the world, and then the Rockefeller Foundation being the money bags from all the American operations, and he goes right back to Rothschild. So, fact of the matter is, Eric, we identified the bad guys, and these people are trying to push us away from them, including this guy Shamish saying that Israel is just a big victim.
Well, and Henry McCowell will do that, too. A lot of the writers at Rents do this, too. They'll talk about Zionism. They'll talk about some of the top Israeli officials, even, saying how terrible they are. But it always gets twisted into, well, they're following Bush, and they're following the globalists. And so it's basically Israel's innocent. There may be a couple, wild globalists over there in Israel, but it's really they're innocent. And the Zionism is, they're innocent too. It's always, they're always bringing it back to these mystery groups, the Council on Foreign Relations or the PNAC group. But those are simply pieces of this, you know, the organizations. They're like children of the Rothschilds and the Zionist groups. They're not in control, and they can lose any of those organizations. It won't matter, because all you have to do is form another one if they want.
Well, and you know, when we put up, from, we brought up Henry Mackow, he's just a sack of hot air, this guy. And we put up the guy John Bryant's responses to him that had a series of emails that were going back and forth, and they're very telling. Now, John Bryant does not represent me, and nor does he I represent him. I don't know the gentleman. I've never spoken with him. In fact, I did email him, and he sent me an email telling me that, you know, my stuff is not quite like yours, and because he touches things that I won't touch. That is the Holocaust. I won't go there. And he's a little bit more, how to say, he's harder on things than I am. I'm a little less critical of certain areas. But anyway, I got a lot of emails saying, why are you putting him on the side and this and that? And I said, well, because it really characterized very well my feelings about Mr. Mackow. And, you know, he's another guy pushing you, Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, and then he moves you into the Masons. It's all the Masons, and the Zionism is only a small element within it. This is nonsense. This is absolute foolishness. The research does not bear that out at all, Eric.
Oh, I know. And what's sad is if you look at those reports that most people never heard about, they're right now at the site about, you know, if you look at what General Eisenhower did after World War II, all the reports of him deliberately starving to death possibly a million Germans. People don't even know about it. It's unbelievable how you can slaughter so many people, and the reports don't go anywhere. They're not. Who learned about it in their school books? And there's supposedly articles by American soldiers who witnessed it. They were guards watching over them all dying. And it doesn't get out there. What people have to realize is, you know, this is a war of deception. You've got to use your mind. This is not a fist fight. And if you are not careful, if you get trapped, if you follow the wrong people, if you follow Mackow or Jones or Rents, you're going to end up like those dead Germans. You know, for all we know, the clues were right in front of their face at the time, but they didn't see them. They couldn't understand them.
Yeah.
And so this is what's going to happen. If you look at what's happening right now, there are how many Americans right now in Iraq and Afghanistan dying for what?
Yeah.
And what? And then they come and they're killing Iraqis for what? And then they're spreading uranium around the planet. You know, this is something people have to be thinking more. This is the people who are really going to suffer are the dumbest ones. But then they inadvertently affect the rest of us because they are creating, they're allowing and supporting the wars. They're allowing the deception. They're funding the New York Times, the Newsweeks, the NBCs. Even though we are not getting caught up in it, all of these millions of people are funding it and helping it and assisting it. And we suffer as a side effect of their stupidity.
Well, and you know, one of the things, one of our approaches has been, to place out in there, and I mean, because we want to uncorral people away from the facts that we know are being manipulated, and they are. They really are being manipulated. It's a simple story, and I keep saying that over and over again. And that simple story is that there is a very small group of very powerful elite Jewish banker controllers, and they use their wealth to control corporations around the world and to foment horrible events around our world, and they bought and paid for most governments in the world through their influence and money. And it is very clear, if you look at it, they control our press, the media, medical associations, drug companies, and you take a look at it, and you know after you see it that it could not be any other way. And somebody asked me, why didn't, and who do you, you know, they asked me, this some guy you thought, from Dylan Avery, in fact, one of his followers, why do you say it's the Jews, he says. And I said, well, look, it's where everything leads to. I didn't come up with that in the first instance. That's where all of the arrows pointed. Now, I wanted to make sure I was right, so I didn't, really jump on this whole thing all at once, Eric. We kind of had to confirm everything, but
I've had
so many confirmations now that you can't even, there's no possible way that this is anything but absolutely 100% spot on.
Well, you know what's interesting is even Bolin, when 9/11 first happened, didn't think it was Israel. He was telling me it was the City of London, I'd say, because he was getting the City of London stuff from like American Free Press people and, others, like the Webster Tarpleys. You know, they're pushing, it's the City of London. And that's what he was being told. And it took him a while to realize the City of London, that's the Rothschilds and these other Zionists. And then a lot of the main players are coming out of Israel. It's not immediately obvious when you first look at the September 11th attack. A lot of us had to, you figure it out. It's not that we came in thinking this.
Our conclusions leave us open for these, these cretins around the world to call me an anti-Semite. And then, of course, they used sliming to say that I'm living in France because I'm a this or I'm a that. I mean, they've called me every name in the book, and I've been convicted of every crime in the world, and they've said everything about me. But the fact is, Eric, this group that we've identified, they are willing to do anything to keep their control. They're willing to do anything. I mean,
well, just look at what they've done already. All the world wars, the slaughters. Look at what Eisenhower did. I mean, if these things are true, they just put them. There's pictures of them, even thousands and thousands of Germans just sitting in a field like cattle, dying out of starvation and lack of water. They just put them in a pen and let them die. This is shocking. I mean, if they can do that, then 9/11 is actually one of their smaller attacks, and then things like killing that Michael Zibber, that's even tinier yet. So, if you look at what they've done as far as the slaughters they've done before, what they're doing right now is actually on the small scale, and it may be because of things like the internet and because of the ease at which we can send out DVDs and books. It may be that they don't have this ability to conduct such massive slaughters like they could during World War II, because who, when Eisenhower was slaughtering those people, who in America knew about it?
Nobody, but see, the Israelis, 3 days before they're demanded to pull out, and they've agreed to pull out, they drop cluster bombs with the little bomblets everywhere, and they drop 100,000 cluster bombs in the last 3 days. Now, why would they do that? They didn't drop them when their troops were moving in. They dropped all these cluster bombs as a parting gift for Lebanon, so the little children and civilians returning to their homes would be blown up.
Yeah, and those are probably that shipment. They said, hurry up, send it to us.
Yeah, we need some cluster bombs so we can kill this, more of the civilians.
And this is America. This is, you got to think about this. Here we are. Our trains are falling apart. Our cities are crumbling. What are the Americans doing? Building bombs for Israel, building weapons of all sorts, providing them with billions of dollars. This country is behaving like a retarded girl who doesn't realize her lover is raping her. It's pathetic when you look at what the American people are doing. All our money, our resources are going to what? To help these crazy wars? To help them?
I get. We keep doing these interviews. We keep doing these audio files, and of course, we've got great numbers, Eric. I mean, we've broken every record we've ever had as far as the numbers are concerned by a lot this past month. 40%, 30% up, I think, from the month before. Incredible. Apparently, people are catching on to the facts. But how quickly, and is it enough? And it's certainly, in my view, only a small portion of what we need.
Yeah, it's very slow. I mean, what's helping right now, I think, bring people, is that Mike Piper is like sinking fast. Him and Wink TV, they really hurt themselves badly. And I think finally some people are realizing, all this time we've been complaining, that our complaints aren't just nonsense at all. There really is basis for this. There really is a reason we say that this 9/11 truth movement, this alternative media, is infiltrated. It's dominated. It's not just Wing TV. It's the white supremacists. It's the MoveOn. It's the political parties. It's the anti-war groups. They're infiltrated. That's why they don't do anything.
Well, if anybody wants to even wonder, I mean, the Bush administration earmarked $1.5 billion last year for disinformation. That's just them. That's not the Israelis. That's not the Mossad's budget. That's just the U.S. government's budget for false news and for spammers and liars and people to go out into the community and spawn different nonsenses. And I mean, how much do you think $1,500 million can buy if you want to create nonsense, Eric?
Well, it'll buy a lot. That's why when you look at message boards, there are people out there putting out thousands of messages. You have to wonder, how do they do this? It's like they're working full time. They're putting out so many messages, and they'll call up on radio shows, pretending to be ordinary citizens. They'll send letters to the editor. They'll send email to people like you and me, trying to pretend to be ordinary people, swaying us one way or the other by saying, oh, why did you put such and such up on your site? I don't think that's really right. They're all over the place. And people don't realize this, and they're falling for this trick that, oh, these are ordinary people, and these are ordinary phone callers to the radio stations.
But well, see, Eric, they admitted that they put $1,500 million worth of disinformation out last year. They admitted that. So, look, use your logic out there in the listening audience and figure out how much nonsense that could buy.
And then there's other countries. And remember, even Andreas von Bülow said when he was working in the... He worked with the German secret, whatever their version is, BND, I think they call it. He said 95% of what these intelligence agencies do is produce disinformation. They're just pumping it out all the time. And so it's not just America. You got Britain, too, Israel, all of them, Russia, Canada.
Australia.
Yeah, and so people have to realize when they see, when they go to these websites and message boards, they've got to be careful. It's very likely that most of those people on these message boards are being paid. Not just some of them, most of them. Because most people, we don't have that much time to spend sitting on a message boards. These people...
Well, and then think about this. When you go to a site and put down anything about Zionism, 9 out of 10 of these forums and these, they'll just immediately delete it.
Or they bombard it with other messages. And they create their own... conversations with each other, simulating conversations. You'll see this all the time, too, where one of them will bring up an issue, and then another one pretends to be responding to it. It looks like a conversation, and you'll see them swaying one person or another, trying to fool the rest of us into thinking, oh, wow, these are good arguments. He just got convinced. But people have to be careful. The disinformation's incredible, and they're using also their money to buy people. As the economy gets worse, I think that it's easier and easier for them to bribe people because there's a lot of people, after a while, I'm sure they're just going to throw their hands in the air and say, oh, give me the money, I don't care anymore.
Well, you know, and we do this on a shoestring. I mean, if you saw this wire job I've got over here with this mixing board, I can't figure it out. It's a nightmare, Eric, and we're trying to jury-rig here a telephone that's supposed to work into a mixer, that's supposed to work into a computer, certainly not a radio station. I'm putting this together with pieces of wire and a soldering iron, and it doesn't work. It's not working.
Well, you might get it eventually, but...
Well, it's frustrating, and you know, but... it would be great to be able to have something that was actually functional, and that we could actually do a live broadcast out onto a streaming cast here of some sort. You know.
Well, the only problem with the live ones is you get those disinformation people constantly calling, and that's the one problem with the live stations. They have advantages that you can get real people, but you also have the problem that the forums have that you can get the disinformation people too. That's what people always have to keep in mind, the disinformation. These people who did these crimes are not going to sit by while we expose them. They are going to use their money, and you've got to realize this. They're going to use it. They're not going to just sit by and let themselves be exposed. They're not going to give up.
Yeah.
They've got too much at stake, and they've got a lot to gain if they can win.
Well, they've got everything to gain if they win and everything to lose if they lose, Eric. And you know what? Because we've been spot on, and I mean, time... You know, look, if you go back in our history, you know, when we did the Barbara Olson picking apples in my backyard and Flocko Flambe and You know, we did a Lenny Bloom potato head scenario, and we went through the ranks of these cheesy liars, and I mean, look, we've been proven right. We got a track record of knowing when we stumble on a bad guy. Boy, my stomach starts doing backflips, and you know what? I left those two networks that I was on, and they are both give my stomachs indigestion, and I am so glad Bolin got his butt out of there. You know, because the thing is, too, they've got a few people over there that are genuine, and I can tell you, over at RBN, I think Rick Adams is honest. I think he honestly believes what he puts out, and I think he gets people to speak. But I mean, you'll notice that several of their people are, but the rest, the majority, are nonsense, absolute nonsense. This Shemansky, this guy is a paid show. What would a lawyer, a full fledged lawyer of the Jewish persuasion be doing as a radio host that doesn't make a pay? You don't make pay for this, guys. There's no paycheck for any of this. It costs me money to go on this to do this. And when I was at RBN, it cost me money, Eric.
Well, I know most people don't realize that the radio hosts at GCN and RBN, they don't get paid. That's an important thing to realize, because people just assume they're like Rush Limbaugh. You assume that these guys are all making millions. But these are small stations, and they don't have the money to pay people. They may be getting funding from this, you know, Zionist network, but they don't get enough of it that they can actually pay their radio hosts.
Well, you know, our strategy over at GCN to stick around for a month or two and try to get as many followers as we could to take with us was a heck of a strategy, and it worked. And I mean, that final straw when we did the Lubavitcher thing, that final thing, when they said, "You guys got to go now," we were expecting to go months earlier, Eric, when we were really poking them in the eye over there. But you know, I don't regret having done the effort that we did, because it worked well, and we were able to get enough people to understand our information, and look at the result. I mean, you know, I've said this on the radio before, 1,500 hits when you did Zionist on Google, and now we've got 9 million.
Oh, yeah, it's moving. It's moving up, and it's...
Well, Eric, 1,700. Let me be accurate here. 1,700 hits up to 9.4 million.
Well, yeah, people are getting the information out. It's spreading, and they have no choice. See, that's why I think right now they are trying to get the Loose Change video out in the movie theater. They're trying to push that one and get so that they can remain in control. And that's why I think they're also pushing Barry Chamish so much, Webster Tarpley. They realize they're losing it. They're losing control of 9/11. And so what they want to do is get everybody over to their corral, put all the little sheep in the pen, and then they'll all gather around and listen to Dylan Avery and Webster Tarpley and Barry Chamish. And they will remain in control. Even though 9/11 will have come out, they will remain in control of everything. And this is what people have to watch out for. Don't let them put you in that pen. And don't sit there like a fool listening to Dylan Avery, Webster Tarpley, and the others.
That's right. And Shemansky, man, I gotta keep going back to him. That guy's a piece of work. He was so bad at what he was doing, and his nonsense was so ridiculous that they couldn't even keep putting him up on the regular AFP printings and stuff. He was so bad, but they're still featuring him on their website.
Well, yeah, I think in the print part that people would complain if they had too many of his articles, but on the internet they can get away with it, and it spreads it throughout the world when it's on the internet, so that they can promote his nonsense, promote his name and, you know, his nonsense all over the world that way. See, that's another thing. People need to be complaining to this. They should either quit supporting this station or that paper, or start a new one. You know, just tell, you know, help Bolin start a new one.
What, a new paper?
Yeah, a new one. Or...
Well, you know, the French Connection's got a great audience, and I've already told him he could post his stuff as long as he wants or as often as he wants over here, because I've looked at his stuff over and over again. It rings of truth. It smells of truth. It feels truthful. Look, you know, I looked into this stuff. I've got quite a knowledge base now of these facts, and I know when somebody's pulling my chain and when they're not. And so, and Bolin's work has been always spot on. So there it is, Eric. You know, I'm glad you came on today just to clear up some of these things. We haven't really had a conversation since all this nonsense over there. Oh, boy. Well, it was a wild ride for a week or so.
Well, yeah, funny. It was interesting.
That's interesting. I don't know. You know, we get some laughs out of this nonsense anyway, but yeah, I appreciate it, Eric. Well, you know,
it's just also sad how people they are falling for some of the deception. You know, like this, one of the sad things is you'll get people they fell for that trick that Thorne, you know, Victor Thorne, when he went on Piper's show, said to Boleyn, "Would you publicly denounce the lies of Eric Hufschmidt and Daryl Bradford Smith?" You know, people don't think about this. Wait a minute, what lies? He's saying to him, "Denounce the lies." No one ever says, "Wait, what lies? What are you talking about?" You know, this is like someone saying to you, "There's some joke I can't remember from years ago. You know, have you quit beating your wife yet?" You know, you have to first prove it before you can make a remark like that. Here, Thorne is saying, "Will you publicly denounce the lies of Hufschmidt Smith?" Well, he doesn't even say what. And then when Boleyn hesitated on these questions, like he also asked him, "Do you, like Eric Hufschmidt, believe that American Free Press is infiltrated and run by Zionists?" Boleyn was hesitating on these questions, and I'm getting emails. I'm shocked that Boleyn didn't defend the American Free Press. I'm shocked that he didn't denounce the lies. But people aren't even, they're falling for this trick so easily. You know, imagine somebody saying to an Enron employee years ago, imagine someone like you saying, Enron is run by some corrupt officials. And imagine Victor Thorne saying, "Would you denounce the lies of Daryl Bradford Smith? Do you think that Enron is run by corrupt officials?" And imagine someone hesitating. And imagine an Enron employee hesitating to answer that question, and then everyone saying, "You're not defending your company. You're bad." I mean, why is Boleyn required to defend his own company? Why is a citizen required to defend George Bush? Why is any of us, required to defend the company we work for or the organization we are part of? You know, if we have our doubts about our company or our nation, we should be able to talk about it. We shouldn't have to rush to give blind obedience, but people are falling for this nonsense.
Well, they really didn't. And
Some of them did.
Well, you know, Scott McCofka over there, some people have said he wasn't a Czech Jew. But by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you take a look at the map of where Czechoslovakia is, it is right next door to Poland, and in fact, it's an hour's drive from Poland. And I had done some research on him earlier on and found him that he was Czech Jewish, but others said that he was Polish Jewish. But it doesn't really matter. The fact is, this guy has been getting on the radio now saying, "I'm a psychopath. I'm a psychopath." And, you know, now it's going to be doo-doo head. Daryl Bradford Smith's a doo-doo head, and that's going to have to suffice because nothing else has worked. So, you know, yeah. And then the other day with Piper, he must have said my name. Eric, I was sitting on the phone. He must have said my name 40 times. And Daryl Bradford Smith, and Daryl Bradford Smith. And I'm like, holy Moses, it's just unbelievable. But they're really grasping for straws here. These folks have nothing.
Well, they have nothing of substance to say, so it's nothing more than emotional manipulation and intimidation. They have no real substance to counteract what our accusations are. We've got evidence. We've got evidence that they're lying, that they're deceiving, and the ones that we can't say are actually lying, we have evidence that they're not saying anything of value, that they are not serving any useful purpose.
And here's the other thing. Their associations stink like fish. If you're hanging out with a whole nest full of liars and disinformation people, then, you know, you're going to get slimed. And even if you don't deserve it, you do deserve it. What are you doing with these people? You lay down with dogs, you get fleas.
Well, that's right. It's like people like Mark Glenn, he may not be actually lying, but he's not serving any purpose, and look who he promotes. People like Wing TV and the others.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And
right.
So my attitude is, even if the guy is trying to help, we don't need that kind of help. We need people who are going to do something of value. We don't need people who just want to be famous and who in the process are promoting liars and deceivers and criminals.
That's right.
So
well,
even,
I'm hoping I'm going to put out a last plug before we call this a day, Eric. Remember, we've only got a few days to file if you're going to run for an office. And, you know, we still haven't got a real solid lead on all that, but I still hope somebody out there in this audience has taken this suggestion to heart and is going to do something with it. I think it was a great idea when it was hatched, and I think it's a wonderful idea now, and I'm hoping that at least somebody out there is going to take the bull by the horns and become a candidate in their region or in their area. And, you know, I will find some way to get some money for at least some ads for you. I promise you that. We'll do something. And if at the very least what we'll get out of it is some good experience. So please don't forget that was a great suggestion, and we really need to do something with that, Eric. You know that?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I know. We're planning on doing it. Maybe I can get in there and do it. Too. So people don't have to give up yet. Just tell them to watch the site, watch the French Connection website, and you'll see what's going on in this regard.
Well, we're going to keep punching way above our weight, Eric. Thanks for coming on again, man. I appreciate your time with me, and, you know, we always enjoy our little talks here because, you know, this is where it really gets done. This is the place to get it done. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I am Daryl Bradford Smith. That's who I am, and I don't say my own name 40 times during a show. I say it twice, usually. And I appreciate you coming here for this little short segment we had today. And thanks, Erica Huffschmidt, for being with me today. And I want to let you all know I'm going to have probably an interview for tomorrow, the last day of the week. But until that time, ladies and gentlemen, be well. Bye-bye now.